Episcopalian found herself as a patient in a Seventh-day Adventist hospital. Hungry, she asked the diminutive nurse for a steak. "I'm very sorry," said the nurse. "We don't eat a lot of red meat. We don't believe in steak." "Well, may I please have a Coke?" asked the Episcopalian. "I'm sorry," the nurse replied. "We don't believe in Coke." She thought for a moment. "All right then, just bring me a cup of coffee." "I'm sorry," said the nurse. "It's that caffeine thing. We don't believe in coffee either." Exasperated, the Episcopalian asked, "Well, what do you people believe in?" And pulling herself up to her full height, the little nurse said proudly, "We believe in the second coming of our Lord." "Oh, no," said the Episcopalian. "If he's been here once, he won't come back again." This is the final Sunday of the church year when we end, as it were, the salvation cycle. We hand everything over to Christ our King, who hands it on to the Father. And next Sunday we begin with Advent, when we look again for the coming of our Lord. Now, those of you who've taken my class on the Gospel of John know that John is very fond of irony. It's sort of shot all the way through his work. For example, the blind man sees while the sighted Pharisees are blind. That's ironic. Nicodemus is a great teacher of the law, yet he sneaks in by night to learn from Rabbi Jesus. The Samaritan woman at the well has buckets with which to draw water, yet Jesus is the living water which springs up to eternal life. Irony, you get the point. Well, today we have another striking episode from John, and we get the very same irony. The powerless prisoner, Jesus, is king, while the powerful ruler, Pilate, is subject. And John tells us why this is. "Then you are a king?" asked Pilate. Jesus replied, "You say that I'm a king." And then he goes on, "For this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth." There it is. To testify to the truth. That is what it means to be a king, to be royal. And what John is saying, and what this feast of Christ the King is all about, is integrity. Wherever truth reigns, one is king, no matter how lowly, how imprisoned, how tortured, or rejected. In other words, this feast is about the realm of moral witness. We are royal when we testify to the truth. Now, many of you will know the play A Man for All Seasons, and it was made into a movie, and actually somebody told me it was on TV last night. King Henry VIII is trying to coax his subject, Sir Thomas More, to agree to his divorce of Catherine. "You must consider, Thomas," says the king, "that I stand in peril of my soul. It was no marriage. She was my brother's widow. Leviticus 18:16, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife." And More replies, "Yes, your grace, but Deuteronomy," and Henry interrupts, "Deuteronomy is ambiguous." More replies, "Your grace, I am not fit to meddle in these matters. To me, it seems a matter for the Pope." And once more, Henry interrupts, "Thomas, Thomas, does a man need a Pope to tell him his sin? It was a sin, Thomas. I admit, I repented, and God has punished me. I have no son, and son after son, all dead at birth or within the month. I never saw the hand of God so clear in anything. It is my bounden duty to put away the queen and all the popes back to St. Peter shall not come between me and my duty. How is it, Thomas, that you cannot see? Everyone else does. And Moore answers back, then why does your grace need my poor support? And Henry comes back with those powerful words, because, Thomas, you are honest. And what's more to the purpose, you are known to be honest. There are those who follow me because I wear the crown, and those who follow me because they are jackals with sharp teeth, and I am their lion. And there is a mass that follows me because it follows anything that moves. And then there is you, Thomas. Henry, in the presence of Moore's integrity, knew who really was the king and really who was subject. Mahatma Gandhi one day stepped aboard a train, and as he did so, one of his shoes fell off onto the track, and he was unable to retrieve it because the train had started moving. To the amazement and the mockery of his companions, Gandhi calmly took off his other shoe and threw it back along the track. They made even more fun of him. Why did you do that? Gandhi smiled. The poor man who finds the shoe lying on the track will now have a pair he can use. And everyone on that train with two shoes on his feet knew that Gandhi had testified to the truth. They were subject to their pride. He was royal in his compassion. And finally, this year is the 20th anniversary of the various revolutions of 1989, which overthrew tyrants all over Europe. The fall of the Berlin Wall, the Velvet Revolution in Czechoslovakia, the execution of Nicolae Ceausescu in Romania. I was reading last week an account of a priest and his experiences under the communist rule in Albania and the presence and power of God in his life. He writes, on December 19th, 1947, the secret police arrested me and charged me with provoking unrest and with propaganda against the state. I lived in solitary confinement for 17 years and for many more in forced labor. And on Christmas night, the year I was arrested, how could I forget? They dragged me from that place and put me in a lavatory on the second floor of the prison. They forced me to strip and hung me up with a rope passed under my arms. And I was naked and I could barely touch the ground with the tips of my toes. And I felt my body slowly and inexorably failing me. And the cold gradually crept up my limbs. And when it reached my breast and my heart was about to give in, I gave out a desperate cry. And my torturers pulled me down and beat me. That night, in that place, and in that solitude, I experienced the real meaning of the cross. But in that suffering, I had beside me and within me the comforting presence of the Lord Jesus, the eternal high priest, the King of the universe. And at times, his support was something that I can only call extraordinary. So great was the joy and comfort he communicated to me. I have never felt resentment for those who, humanly speaking, robbed me of my life. After my release, I happened to meet one of my torturers in the street. I took pity on him. I went toward him and embraced him. They released me in the 1989 amnesty. I was 79 years old. Everything can be taken from us, but no one can wrench from our hearts our love for Jesus and our love for our brothers and sisters. So who is the king there? The priest who embraced his torturer, or the torturer who thought he had all the power? There is one thing in common to all these stories that I've told you this morning. They tell us what was going on at the trial of Jesus in front of Pilate. They tell us that although powerful, although Pilate would have captive Jesus tortured and killed, Pilate remained the prisoner because he lived a lie. And the prisoner was king because he kept his integrity and testified to the truth. "Then you are a king," asked Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, for this was I born to testify to the truth." This gospel, this feast of Christ the King, remind us that each of us was born for the very same reason. "For this I was born, to testify to the truth." In the words of the Nicene Creed, we stand and proclaim the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God.